On Reddit, true crime doesn't come from journalists. It comes from the victims, the witnesses, and sometimes the suspects themselves.
Every Tuesday on Crimes of Reddit, we read these posts out loud.
I'm Sabrina Dianaroga.
And I'm Alexis Linkletter. One of us brings the story, the other goes in blind, reacting in real time, just like you.
New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Crimes of Reddit, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Dirt and Sprague.
This one in the air to right center. Harris is there. Braves win. Just your regular Tuesday night game here at Truist. And what an unbelievable job here by Raisel Iglesias. After a leadoff triple from Shohei Ohtani, he leaves him stranded. And the Braves take game one.
Andy Dirt Johnson, Brendan Sprague.
The windup and the 2-1 pitch to Cal. Swing and a drive. Down the right field line. Stay fair. Gone. Goodbye, baseball. Four consecutive home runs for Cal Raleigh. Three last night. And his first at-bat tonight off of Aaron Nola with a screaming line drive.
Dirt and Sprague on the Fan Sports Network.
All right, 6:02 in the Rose City. Time for Dirt and Sprague on Portland Sports Leader 105.1 The Fan and the Fan Sports Network.
Brian Gass.
Good morning. Hello. Happy hump day, everybody.
What is happening?
Nice little Wednesday morning. Thanks for being with us on the 26th of August. It truly is flying by.
Happy go back to school day for a lot of kids in Portland Public Schools today. Going back. Yeah, first day.
Beaverton started yesterday.
They started yesterday. Yeah.
What?
Huh? What? Yeah, today's first day of school.
Beaverton. My niece school and nephew started start yesterday. Today.
When did they start doing August?
I don't know.
That's mind-blowing to me.
Yeah, I know.
Breaking, startling news.
Breaking
it's
news!
It's the biggest gap I remember because...
We always did after Labor Day. There was never a year we did before Labor Day.
It was always before, yeah. Or always afterwards.
In recent years, they would go... I don't remember them starting this early. It would be like right before Labor Day because they were hoping to not go so far deep into June for the last day of school.
Are we protecting for potential snow days? Is that what we're doing here?
I
starting
have no
a week
idea.
Early? I don't know.
But it feels a bit hot for snow day consideration.
You would think so, right? Yeah, the kids in the neighborhood were depressed walking around yesterday.
I didn't know they were starting today.
When do you guys go back to school? Not all of them go back today. Like, I think if you're in middle school, just sixth graders go today, and then the seventh and eighth graders go tomorrow. But they all start today
but
or tomorrow.
My sister-in-law teaches in the Beaverton School District. They started yesterday. They live in the Lake Oswego School District. They don't start till September 9th.
I think that's when my daughter starts. I think that's when both my kids start.
I love
start.
The mixture. That's hilarious from district to district that it could be so different. You're 10 minutes away from each other, and they could be totally different on the start
day
of school.
That's 2 extra weeks of summer vacation.
I know.
Are you going to get out 2 weeks earlier? What's the trade-off here? You better.
There's no way they are.
You got a gig. Yeah, we're not going 2 more weeks.
Now,
worth
they've
of
only
days.
Got they've only got one left in high school. I'm nephew number four is
last
the only
dance.
One left in high school.
That is a wild thing. You just broke my brain telling
your brain
me
on that
going back to school today.
Yeah, my nephew who was in fourth grade starts today. Or no, sixth grade. And my niece who's in fourth grade starts today.
Washington and California, maybe Idaho. I don't know enough about Idaho. I know they usually start in
August. Early, yeah.
But I've never heard Oregon starting in August.
Yeah, it's been a regular thing, I think, in other parts of the country where they've always started earlier. It's
kind
of like what happens in college, like if whether you're on the term system or the semester system or whatever. Like some people start at the beginning of August and some people don't go until September.
Yeah, we were on semesters at UPS, so we always started at the end of August.
Right, so you're back this week.
We got
and
an
then...
entire month off basically from the middle of December till the middle of January for winter break.
Right.
And then we were done at the end of May.
And at Oregon, we never started until the end of September. It was always weird because you'd be going down for football games and stuff, but school wouldn't be in session for another 3 weeks. So, yeah, it was a bit doomy and gloomy in the old neighborhood yesterday, all the kids. I am excited, though, dare I say. I am excited. The parks are going to be wide open in the middle of the afternoon. Me and Teddy Ballgame are about to go wreck some havoc.
I'm excited that my kids will be out of the house for about 5 hours.
Yeah, you ready to get rid of them for a little bit? Summer burnout's there.
Well, no, it's not. I wouldn't. Burnout is not the right term, but there's like, if you don't do something with them and they're not proactively trying to do something.
Right. We just turn into a vegetable state.
Well, it's just a little like, I'm feeling guilty for some reason, but I shouldn't be.
It's 82 degrees. What are we doing laying around the house? Well, come on, let's go pick up an activity.
That's too hot for my kids.
That is a little warm. I will acknowledge. Last 2 days have been a little too hot for me, too. I'm like, nah, dude, I'm going back inside.
Well, REC went out 2 days ago.
Oh, wonderful timing.
Because it was too hot, so it overheated, so we had no AC. And then yesterday it was off almost all day, so I did some yard work and a little housework, and then I was exhausted. I had to sit down for like 3 hours.
You can't come in. Doing the outside in the heat, yard work is not bad when you can come in and sit in front of the air conditioner after you're done.
No, it was hot.
Right, you have like a cold glass of water or a Diet Coke, a fridge cig, you sit down in front of the AC, you cool off. If you don't have that, now you're just hot inside. Hot outside, hot inside. It's no good, man.
Swag, can I ask you a question? I actually thought of something yesterday that made myself laugh out loud.
Okay.
We come today on the show.
At my expense?
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, sorry. I was going to text it. I'm like, you know, I'll just hold it for the air.
Oh. Sitting there doing the math on Swag's birthday.
It's a fair mocking of me there.
It sounded like a Sesame Street character, did it not?
It really did.
It did, like...
You were a little Bert and Ernie.
A little Swedish chef,
Yeah, I was doing exactly that, but I thought of something, and I kind of chuckled. And it was something sad that led me to the thought and the chuckle. So it was a weird, like... It was a weird swing of, hey, damn, man. Oh, hey. That's kind of funny. And it was finding out Dolly Parton had passed.
That was sad.
So she dies. She passes away at 80. She had been sick. Remember, her sister accidentally basically said she was dead. And then her and the estate were like, yo.
I'm not dead yet.
Thanks for announcing that I'm sickly.
Yes.
Anyway, she went to the hospital. Everybody in her inner circle thought she was going to be okay. She ended up passing away. 80 years old. A great life. We could probably talk for 3 hours about the life lived by Dolly Parton. That being said, I was sad. I read her book 2 years ago on a getaway weekend, and it was really great to learn like a lot of her story. I already knew that she was a really good person and how famous she was with her music and everything. But I was thinking about like how sad it was to lose somebody great. And in the midst of thinking about that, I then pivoted somehow to my mind going, oh my God, Dolly Parton has stolen Swag's birthday for the rest of his existence. August 25th is Dolly
Parton's forever be known as Dolly Parton's death day.
And not Swag's birthday.
You just snatched it away from him, man.
It's just gone.
We're over here trying to celebrate, have a good time, and Dolly selfishly decides this is the day you're going to die.
She stole it.
You couldn't have waited one more day, Dolly.
I mean, come on.
Couldn't wait till the 26th, right? Give the man a little bit of room here.
It's his big day, and she's like, I'm one of the biggest people that ever exist in human history, and I'm going to die today.
She absolutely is. One of the most iconic celebrities in American culture history.
I share the birthday with quite a few because there were quite a few.
Who are the other birthdays people, on your birthday?
Well, just from the Hops game last night, they put up the little fangrams, and I need to take it from my phone and do a post because there's apparently P1s that are Hops fans.
Oh, okay.
On my message.
Oh, when they're like doing their birthday shout out? How about that? That's
you
great
got
to
an,
know.
You got a Jizo Pete's.
We got a Jizo Pete's on the big board last night?
How did we not hear about this till right now?
Jizo Pete's.
Well, I got home at, 9:30, and I'm scrambling trying to eat something, get a show open and
some
stuff
done. Try to be tired enough to go to sleep.
And then go to sleep. So, but I did capture it on my phone.
You
so
have a Jizo Pete's photo, huh?
Yes.
Fantastic.
That's
up
great.
There. The famous people, however, who were born on August 25th include Sean Connery, Raleigh Fingers, Elvis Costello, and Claudia Schiffer.
I mean,
is only one of those people alive?
You're shortchanging yourself here a little bit, Swigard.
Schiffer is alive.
Costello's still alive.
Is he?
Yeah.
Okay.
I believe so. You're shortchanging yourself. You got more than that. I pulled up famous 825 birthdays.
Let's see. Blair Underwood.
Blair, I don't know who that is.
He was on L.A. Law, black actor.
Okay. Gene Simmons.
I know who Blair Underwood is.
Oh.
You have Gene Simmons from Kiss.
There we go.
Alexander Skarsgård is 50.
That's right.
Let's see. Who else you got? You got Billy Ray Cyrus.
His daughter's hero is Dolly Parton.
Yes.
What a weird turn of events that is. Well, I think she's her godmother, actually.
Yes, she is. Yeah, they had a lot of famous duets together.
I don't know anything about Billy Ray Cyrus outside of, like, that's Hannah Montana's dad.
Achy Breaky Heart.
Achy Breaky Heart.
What about Old Town Road? That might be the jam of the century.
One of the greatest takes. I've had a few of them in this building. Mm-hmm. Well, in Odyssey. One of them was our old music director for the country station, Mike Moore. I was like, yo, you need to start playing this song. It's like a country rap hybrid that's really popular.
This thing's going to dominate.
And he goes, pull it up. And I pulled it up, and it was the Old Town Road. And he listens to it, and he goes, nah, not a good idea. And then guess what happened?
That song was a pretty big deal for a while.
Just took off like a
take
rocket
my
ship.
Horse to the Old Town Road. Tim Burton, 825.
Yes. Burton's a good one.
Blake Lively. A little controversial right now, but, you know, you share it with a hop. There's nothing wrong with that.
Mrs. Ryan Reynolds.
You shortchange yourself. A lot of the people, though, when you look up famous birthdays, it just shows how old I am. You'll see, like, movie actor Sean Connery, and then it's TikTok star Josie K.
Who are the two biggest celebrities in the list we just gave of his birthday?
Sean Connery, for sure, number one.
Okay. Connery.
Well, let's do Alive.
Alive?
I mean, he's not celebrating anymore.
He's celebrating his grave.
Is he smacking women across the face? Sometimes they need just a little slap to put them into place.
Moneypenny.
Who are the two biggest? Tim Burton's a pretty big deal.
Gene Simmons,
he's still alive.
He's got the biggest tongue in the world.
What's bigger, Gene Simmons or Tim Burton? Gene Simmons. Tim Burton, though,
I mean, if you like multiple layers of culture, Tim Burton's been pretty impactful.
Yeah, he's got a lot of big-time movies.
Great movies.
Blake Lively's a pretty big deal.
Tim Burton and Gene Simmons are the answer.
Those are the two right there?
Now, here are my two still alive most famous people. Jeff Bridges and Jay-Z. I share birthdays with Jeff Bridges and Jay-Z.
That's pretty good.
I used to only know it was Jay-Z and Skip Bayless, which made me kind of depressed.
Yeah, you don't want to share a birthday
with Skip
Bayless.
And then I found out Jeff Bridges was December 4th as well, and I was like, okay, we're better now. Jeff Bridges and Jay-Z.
I don't know if I've ever really looked this up.
The Big Lebowski and Jay-Z. Come on, man.
That's pretty solid. I don't have a very good batch here, boys.
Your birthday doesn't have anything, huh?
Rainn Wilson.
It's Dwight.
Buzz Aldrin's still alive, technically.
Dude, that's a pretty... The second guy to ever walk on the moon.
Him punching a moon landing
conspiracy
denier in the face is one of the funniest videos in the history
of the
internet.
It's amazing.
Yeah, you guys got... I got J.J. McCarthy.
J.J. McCarthy is Niner. So funny for
I'm a big Niner guy.
Anyways, yeah. I know that it was really sad, but like also... I did find it hilarious that she died on your birthday.
Yeah, it's
when
tough.
This happens again, everybody's going to do 1 year ago today, Dolly Parton died.
Do you remember where you were 1 year ago when you found out that Dolly Parton passed away? At least if somebody, if it's somebody that you like, it helps it a little bit
better. Yeah, if they're absolutely terrible,
then it's like, damn it.
But it's Dolly, it'll be celebratory.
Hitler killed himself on my birthday.
Right. Now I'm known for that forever. Nobody's ever going to remember my birthday.
Start a new tradition on the next birthday. Do we watch, do we watch Best Little Whorehouse in Texas?
Ooh. Play a little 9 to 5 in the background as you're making your coffee, getting ready for the day. Yeah. I mean, there's good ways to celebrate
it. Some Dom DeLuise.
Well, there was a lot of great things. I think most of us knew most of the stuff that was talked about with her yesterday when she passed. I think one of the more remarkable things that I just discovered is I knew she wrote I Will Always Love You by Whitney Houston. And what she did on that was really cool, too. If you don't know... she made, I think it was $10 million in royalties from that song, and she donated every single cent of the royalties to a black community for business purposes.
Yeah, she built like a little office complex in a historically black neighborhood, and she called it the house that Whitney built.
House that Whitney built.
Well, she recorded it herself many, many years ago, twice.
Twice.
Two different recordings of it both reached number one on the country charts.
And then Elvis wanted to do it, but Elvis's manager said, we want 50% of the royalties forever. And she was like, no, I'm not doing that.
Piss off,
even though she needed the money at the time and she held it. And then Whitney Houston ended up doing it and it became a very big deal.
So she wrote that song and Jolene the same day.
I mean, that's arguably the best musical day anybody's ever had in their life.
That's like a phenomenal, like, my brain is unlocked.
In world history to write those two songs in the same day.
That's crazy.
Like, yeah, let's sit down. Let's crank some things out this afternoon. Let's see what we can come up
with. Let's have a session.
Yeah, Jolene is still played to this day. It's an incredible song.
Did you see, Jack White?
They played it, yeah, at his concert
at
in London.
Concert. There were a lot of people performing.
I would
their
imagine
songs.
Anybody that was doing any sort of live show had to weave something in.
Yes, you have to. There was also, I guess, there's a 9 to 5
Broadway
yeah. show. Yeah. That was one of the saddest moments because they announced it to the crowd.
Yeah,
and they were like, "By the way, before we start this 9 to 5 show, we got to announce." And sadly, and the whole crowd like gasped.
It was a gasp, yeah, audible gasp.
Like, oh man. That one was a bit of a bummer, but the rest of it felt like just a pure celebration of what an incredible person. Man.
I mean, crazy to say somebody lives to 80, we find out they die, and we're all like,
"What?" Yeah, 80's a hell of a run, dude. Hell of a run.
It's a great run.
Also, when you just think about the way that she announced her death, arguably the most baller way that you could do it. It was. Like, there wasn't, like, a TMZ report. She put out her...
There was a video.
An estate, like, put out on the Dolly Parton social media accounts. Yeah. And was it her nephew or her cousin?
I think it was her nephew.
Nephew. It was a family member that just did, like, a 4-minute video. And he was like, "Dolly asked me to do this years ago.
I do this."
So I was the one that would select. And it was like, what a cool way to announce to the world. It didn't leak. It wasn't some random report online. It was just, here's the message. Oh, my God, Dolly Parton died.
Yeah, I mean, the list of things she did in her community and all over is, like, it's an endless thing, man.
Yes. I think you can make an argument, maybe one of the most impressive American stories in the history of our country. Not just music.
Oh, I don't disagree with you at
all. Like, to be born in a one-room shack and to go on to
Your parents can't read.
Can't read.
You're growing up in the back roads of...
right, Tennessee or wherever. Smoky Mountains, wherever you are. And, like, to turn that into being a no-name atop the pop culture... you know,
lexicon,
charts, if you will.
Yeah.
Since when? When did she break onto the scene? In the early 1960s?
Yeah.
Like, it's insane.
I watched her perform on a Johnny Carson. Like, I saw a video she did on Johnny Carson where she thanked him for her career.
Johnny Carson's been off TV for 40 years, man.
He's been dead for like 10.
Been dead longer than that.
Whatever.
Got to be close to 25 now, I'd imagine.
Well, it's
insane.
Yeah, the staying power ability is the crazy part to me.
Very few people have that. And very few people in the country music genre have the ability to, you know, kind of reach out to other pockets of the music world. And she was one of the
ones.
She was
one, but she
industry.
Also embraced each next generation of artists.
Now, she is the all-time... She like never was a hater. She's like one of the all-time best supporters.
Yes.
Just of people, really. Like, you know, she was, I saw somebody say, like, it's probably the most universal opinion Americans have right now was Dolly Parton.
Oh, without a doubt.
And I found that to be incredibly accurate.
It's hard to find somebody else in this country with a higher
approval
rating or.
Yes.
Yeah.
There was a story about she was up. She made a song for a movie, and she was up for an Oscar. And the group that ended up winning the Oscar was 3-6 Mafia.
Oh yeah,
would you think of like 3-6 Mafia and Dolly Parton are about
that trick and all that?
right, like it's a little bit different genre here,
right?
And she sent them a personalized note after the Oscar saying, "Like that is so cool that you guys won. Congratulations.
Yeah,
thanks for bringing it back to Tennessee." And it's little stuff like that of like, that's Dolly Parton, a 75-year-old or whatever old she was at the time, white woman sending this to 3-6 Mafia. They couldn't be further apart from a culture standpoint, but still showing that kind of love. Eminem released a thing with a message that she sent him when he went into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Yeah, she didn't get to meet him, but she said she wanted to. The day was crazy and congratulated him and said he's amazing. And
always loved his music.
She
gave an impact.
I think she had a line in that note to Eminem where she was like, "I don't know what it is, but there's something about you."
Yeah, that
I've known you forever.
Like, imagine reading that. Like, Eminem's accomplished everything in his musical career, amassed millions of dollars, and you get that, and you know that still has a personal touch. Like, that's Dolly Parton sending that to you.
One of the all-time great woke famous people ever.
Dolly Parton.
Super woke.
Super woke.
Do you think people know that about her? That's what I also wondered is, like, the most universal agreement is we love Dolly Parton.
Yeah.
But there's a section of America that does not agree.
Well, she was able to be supportive of everybody without over politicizing any one particular thing she did.
Well, yeah. She would just say, I just support people.
Yeah. Yeah.
And she wouldn't, like, add anything to it. She wouldn't attack anybody.
There was no personal agenda either. She wasn't seeking more. She didn't need to seek more publicity.
But she also, like, backed up, you know, everything that she said. Like, she went to her old county, and she promised kids that graduated $500 cash. And
she did the Scott's Tots,
dude. As big a philanthropist in the country.
And their graduation rates, like, they drop, or their...
Their non-graduation rates or dropout rates?
Their dropout rate, thank you. It, like, plummeted because there was, like, oh, $500
bucks,
dude. I'll finish this stupid thing.
$500 bucks, man. Graduating high school ain't that tough. You give me $500, I'll go do it.
Yeah.
It's also, like, in an era where we have so many people who advocate via, like, grifting and just attention. And
that's
like,
what I hate.
Nothing is actually ever accomplished. They don't usually believe in what they're actually saying. They're just doing it
it's
for attention. There was a lot of, like, Dolly, you might not know anything about her politics, and that was kind of by design on her part.
But I don't feel like that's accurate.
I know.
She
I'm just saying,
pretty
like,
much let you know where
she did,
she
but
stood
she
on
also
everything.
Was she also just quietly worked on stuff.
No doubt.
Like
about
it wasn't for a look at me moment. It wasn't for I'm standing up and shouting and on cable television. It was just I'm quietly going to deliver books to people who can't afford books and teach kids to read.
Well, she's like, a huge advocate of
reading.
She
just found like little things that were very important to her in her life, and she went out to try and make those things better.
Somebody found a video of Enes Kanter at a 2020 protest wearing a mask, chanting "I can't breathe," and then they found him basically saying he's a woman, and they're just like, "Yeah,
this is the epitome of somebody who's looking for attention."
This sums up everything we should despise, and she was just quietly, as you mentioned, behind the scenes, supporting anybody and everybody, helping as you know many people. She just opened a road stop gas station, and she took a shot at Buc-ee's.
She did, dude. Like a year ago, or not even a year ago. It was like a couple of months ago. She was just opening up a gas station.
I think that's why it was surprised that she passed away for people, is they thought she was going to be all right for however longer, and you know she goes to the hospital and it's over.
A great college football memory too, since it's the week that it kicks off, was her. I think it was the Tennessee Georgia game a couple of years ago. Maybe it was a Tennessee Bama game. I can't remember, but a massive game at Neyland, and they brought her out to sing Rocky Top, and everybody lost their ass, and it was such a cool moment.
R.I.P. Dolly Parton, a just landmark human being in American history,
American icon.
All right, we got a lot to get to today. It is a busy little program. Dirt and Sprague, we roll on with the Dirty Paul. We got Statter Story as well. Let's get it going on 105.1 The Fan.
Fantasy football season is back, baby. Matthew Berry here, and my podcast Fantasy Football Happy Hour has the sleepers, busts, and starts and advice you need to win your league. So listen and follow Fantasy Football Happy Hour wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back in. We just saw the photo Swag took at the Hops game yesterday, the Jizo Pete's happy birthday swag photo.
Just tweeted it out, @DirtAndSprague on Twitter.
That is great. You can go find that. Jizo Pete's.
That's an all-time
Where line. Is? Jizo I don't think Pete's. I know what page that's on, because you guys on, keep playing it, and I don't.
It's on our daily audio
Jizo
page.
Jizo Pete's.
Right underneath Butt on Ducks.
Oh, yeah. That's right. Butt on Ducks.
We got Butt on Ducks and then Jizo Pete's.
Well, it's Kelsey. We want your pee.
Ah, touche. We got pee.
We want your pee.
Then it's Jizo Pete's.
Something that I wanted to talk about with you that we didn't get to yesterday, and I felt like we really dropped the ball.
We got some leftovers from our Tuesday show?
A little bit in the sense of, like, I didn't get your thoughts.
Throw them in the microwave. Let's cook them up. What are we eating?
Well, yeah, it's a little bit of the day olds. We'll get to the cafe coming up. It'll open up at 7 a.m., so I want to touch on two things in the same sport.
Ooh.
Okay?
Ooh.
The first is, have you seen the good Callaway commercial that...
Yeah, this has been...
Has ruined two brands simultaneously.
This is going really deep now, too. Like, there is not a bottom of the well yet. It keeps getting worse. So to provide a little context, Good is a YouTube golf brand. They make clothing. The hats
you've
are everywhere.
You've probably seen the hats if you've been to a sports store and you buy golf apparel, or you've just walked past a golf section. It just says... Good.
Yes, or some of them, a lot of them just say good, too. And I'm not a huge fan of the brand. I don't watch a lot of YouTube golf. It's just not really my cup of tea. Outside of Bob Does Sports, I'll watch Bob Does Sports occasionally. But other than that, I'm not a big good guy.
Yeah.
Where this continues to dig down deeper, one of them is it was promoting a Callaway driver in the video.
Yeah, it's unveiling a new Callaway driver.
They had a branding deal with Callaway. That deal is now gone. Callaway has basically instructed every store or outfit or online platform to pull every item of good clothing, hat, connection in any way, shape, or form.
So before you go further, let me explain very quickly to people that may or may not have seen this.
Yes.
So what happened was Good was, as you mentioned, they're unveiling a new driver from Callaway. It's a partnership. Here we go. Okay, right? Big YouTube crowd. And that's the way of all this stuff now is if you're really good on YouTube.
Yeah, branding deals.
Everybody's going to find you. You'll become famous. So their idea for making a commercial to publicize the new driver, I don't know if Swag's seen this, and if he hasn't, I'm going to blow his mind with this. They are on a tee box at a golf course. The actual guy who runs Good is in the commercial. He's on the tee box, but he's away from his golf bag. He's in the distance. And stepping up to his golf bag to grab the driver is a lady golfer who he then in the commercial runs up to and shoves to the ground, stands over the woman and says, "Don't touch my bag." And then grabs the driver.
Smokes one right down the middle.
And smokes a drive down the middle. This was an immediate red flag for almost anybody with a logical brain of,
what?
Your branding for a new driver is casual light domestic violence?
If a woman touches it, how dare you? Get your fingers off my driver.
Why and who and how could you ever approve?
It's unbelievable.
A guy running up to a woman, shoving her to the ground, standing over her.
Yeah.
With a threat of, don't you ever touch my driver.
Yes.
And so that is the origin of all of what we're talking about.
They also took about 36 hours to apologize. Callaway came out immediately with a statement of like, this does not align with our values. We are so sorry. Good did not. They kind of drug their feet on it. Now the CEO of the PGA Tour is on the Golf Channel talking about how disappointed they are in Good. And to the topic of
how brave of them to say how disappointed they are.
To talk about how deep this hole gets, though, Golf Galaxy, which is the biggest retailer for golf equipment in the country, has pulled all of their items off of the shelves.
That is a massive blow.
Dick's Sporting Goods own Golf Galaxy. They also sell a lot of golf stuff at Dick's Sporting Goods. You know who else has pulled all the stuff off the shelves? Dick's Sporting Goods. Another layer of this. Do you ever remember, you probably didn't watch it, but if you did, golf fans have fond memories of it. There was the show, The Big Break Show, back in the day on the Golf Channel. Mm-hmm. And it was basically a reality show to give somebody a pathway to play on the PGA Tour. So it was like a competition.
We had our local guy, Vincent Johnson from Oregon State.
Yes, he was on the show. And it was kind of a fun thing for golf people to watch of like, oh, let's see if one of these 10 guys can win a tour card. I can't remember exactly what the prize was, but it was something along those lines of like, go chase your dreams. They were bringing the show back. And it's been this big deal. If you watch Golf Channel, they promote it all the time. It's coming up. Here's the season premiere.
Yeah.
End of the golf season. We're starting Big Break. And it was supposed to start last night, and they had to put up a programming note saying Golf Channel is postponing tonight's premiere of Big Break to next Tuesday, September 1st. This will allow all necessary production updates following a request from one of the show's sponsors to remove its branding from the series. Golf Channel will air the encore presentation of the Payne Stewart Award coverage this evening, and it's because the brand behind the Big Break TV show is Good, and now there are multiple sponsors who are tied into the show who are now pulling their sponsorship from the show. I don't know if we've seen a brand do more, I would argue, irreparable damage to themselves over one ridiculously dumb ad in quite some time.
Well, I also want to point out, too, because we shout them out all the time, and nobody's perfect. Costco announced that they're pulling Callaway out of their stores.
Did they really?
Yeah. You want to talk about a massive blow. Almost anybody I know that isn't like you or Swag.
Sure, you're getting Costco golf stuff.
Hey, they have these Callaways at Costco. Do you think they're good?
Right.
Yeah, dude, go ahead, get them.
Yeah.
My wife brought this up to me last night, and I was surprised it's creeping in her algorithm now because we'll see if she wants to golf. She had a weird thing yesterday, didn't want to putt with me.
Oh.
My feelings.
Uh-oh. Didn't want to putt because she wasn't making them or what? Just wasn't in the mood?
It's the last 2 days in my house with no air conditioning. It's trying all of us mentally.
People a little tense.
It's 85 degrees in my house, so like that's not great to work in.
Little on edge.
Anyway, she brings this up before we go to bed last night, and I'm like, oh, you saw that? Yeah, that's pretty awful. And she's just telling me, she's the one that told me Costco that pulled Callaway. And I go, yeah, I hate to tell you this, but all of my irons are Callaway and I'm
I'm not changing.
Look, I hate that commercial. The conversation then morphed more into
how
did a commercial
how
get
did it
made?
Get
how?
That far?
It's not one idea, go shoot it, here we go. It is a 9 to 10 plus layer process, and nobody stood up and go, maybe we have his brother go to his bag and get hip checked. Not an innocent woman.
How about we just not assault people for touching golf clubs?
I mean, there's
just
that,
too. The general idea behind it of, like, that's what you came up with?
No doubt. But if you and I made a commercial and you shoved me out of the way and you're like, actually, it's me.
Yeah.
Ah, ha, ha, dirt spray. Ah, idiots.
Right.
We wouldn't be like, hey, let's get Sage in here. One of our gurus behind
elbow
the scenes.
Elbow her in the nose.
They're just gonna, she's gonna land a, you know, a punch, right. And then we're gonna joke and laugh about it.
She,
like,
touches my microphone. I don't think so.
I feel like Swag or Dusty or, you know, anybody with a brain would go, that's not a good idea.
Guys,
that's terrible.
Why don't we go back to the drawing board and try this one again? How about that?
I also want to point out, you're right. It took them over almost 2 days to respond, and I have been very disappointed as a human being that, like, we do not mostly punish people anymore.
No.
We punish poor people. We punish minorities. But, like, big corporations that rip people off, healthcare companies that are just absolutely reaming Americans.
We're just disappointed in the system.
We're disappointed in the system, or, oh, don't do that again. Here's a stern warning. Billionaires just polluting the earth. Another tax break for you, bud. I've been very disappointed in that. And I feel like them taking as long as they did to respond to this publicly, I hope they cease to exist.
Yeah.
I hope this absolutely railroads them forever.
I also just hate the idea of the hat. And they weren't the first one to do this, but, like, the big bold letters across the front, like, it's a trend that needs to end.
Bob
in the golf
sports does this as well with Have a Day, and I'm like, I'm not wearing a Have a Day hat.
Yeah,
offense, I like the content.
I at least like those ones a little bit better than just good.
Yeah, but they have a lot of good, says, good. I mean, just, which is a pretty famous phrase on a golf course.
Yeah, not really. That's good. It's a famous phrase.
Well, but it's a jokey.
Good,
we good? Good.
Good, fine.
So Have a Day you're cool with in block letters on a hat.
It's smaller lettering, and it's a longer saying.
I think it's because you like Bob Does
Sports. I do like Bob Does Sports. Just seeing hats that say good on them, there is an idea of, I'm glad that more people are involved in the game of golf, but also let's shrink the game just a hair. And all of the YouTube content is bothersome to me.
Why?
I don't know. I don't appreciate. I think it leans into the uglier side of the golf fan who doesn't understand or appreciate the actual sport, and they're just in it for YouTube attention and clicks.
Is that the one of the brands you'd point to? Of, like,
I don't know enough about their content to point to it. I just think there's an oversaturation of YouTube golf content, and it leads to a lot of douchey golf bros showing up to events yelling mashed potatoes.
Well, I mean, a lot of that was created by Howard Stern
years ago. No doubt. I'm not saying it's only YouTube golf brands.
So you like the tent being more open, but you also,
for people paying attention to actual golf.
Yeah, because there's a lot of people that only watch YouTube golf and don't watch any.
Don't
PGA
care about
Tour
the actual sport. They don't watch the majors. They don't watch anything other than somebody trying to break 52 with a set of kids clubs.
A crappy golfer who's like, I shot 81 at a great course that you're not going to play.
So if we lose one along the way, I'm not crying any tears. See you later. Good.
Well, I didn't get to my other thing, which was, we have match play.
We do. They finally listened and did what they should have done years ago. It's going to make the end of the season significantly more entertaining.
I mean, I can't help but think, like, I wonder how they morph this.
I mean, it's going to give them the ability to play courses they haven't usually played. It won't be at the same course every year, which I thought was an awesome sign.
They need to move that around.
You have to. And when you have a smaller field with match play, like, you're going to have smaller fans and small, not as many groups. It's not a 150-man field.
So you don't need a venue where you can get 100,000 people necessarily on it, because there's only going to be matches going on at a limited, so it'll be a little traveling herd between four or five holes.
The only one I'm not sure about is the second event's going to be a match play and a foursome, and that's kind of a unique format for me, where there's going to be four guys playing together, and the winner of that four-man match play will somehow win, and there's going to be a lot of ties.
So live golf.
Well, no, that, I mean,
that what Live Golf was doing, four-man teams?
No, well, it's not team. It's four guys competing against each other.
Oh,
it's a match play with a group of foursome.
I was like, what?
So, like, if you get three birdies and one par, you got three guys who tie. You know, like,
that's just kind of
a weird concept.
Scoring.
So that part of it was a little strange, but I think the end of it's going to be awesome. The golf season limps to the finish line.
It absolutely does.
Especially since they moved the PGA out of August when you used to have a major around this time of year. And so I'm very excited about a lot of the things that are going on. As a golf fan, I'm thrilled about it.
Is it too risky to do match play in the last three tournaments of the FedEx? Because you might have the chance of, like, Rory losing in the very first opening.
You want to protect your stars.
Because you want to protect the stars.
You want to protect the stars. They also didn't want a single match after you play a whole season and accumulate all these points and standings. But if I, you know, I scuffle for a round or something.
Right.
Then
none of it matters.
None of it matters when it comes to the big.
It's
bonus
like the
one
game playoff thing in baseball. Like, we played all of that from one round for it to come
to an end. 162 games, and now it's one extra game.
Yeah. Anybody on the PGA Tour can go out and shoot a 64.
You're right.
Anybody can. And then you're just like, oh, now my season is over. So I thought they orchestrated it and organized it in a way that'll make it compelling and keep the big names around for when we want them to be around. And I'm very excited about the direction the tour is going.
We'll open up the cafe coming up at the top of the hour. Dirt and Sprague, it is 6:42. Swag, shut up. You are talking so much today.
Stop over there.
I know. We're number one.
Thank you.
Thanks for telling us that over there. Back with more on The Fan.
I'm Dana Carvey.
I'm David Spade.
Fly on the Wall is back for another season now on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
So many incredible guests will be joining us.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Too good to be true.
All right, we have a lot to get to in the second hour of the radio program. Cafe Day Dirt and Sprague will open up. Talk a little NFL and college football as well. We have the number 9 team in all the land.
Who could it be? Eight.
Eight.
Number eight. Oklahoma was 9 yesterday. We're at 8 today.
LSU, Texas Tech, BYU, and Oklahoma. Who will be number 8 on the top 12 dirty poll?
Who could it be?
We'll find out. Some people really like their chances to win the whole enchilada. Nerd's like, I don't know if you're a top 10 team.
Some
right
have
there.
Them a lot higher than number 8. I am relatively, 8. How low can you be on a team at number 8 in the preseason poll? But according to
there's 7 teams you think are better
to the preseason
positions.
Predictors, I'm a little bit lower on this team than some others around the country.
I'm looking forward to Hood to Coast this week. I had to pick up my van today after the program, but I know it's really the weekend of college football kickoff for everybody.
I mean, TCU, North Carolina at 9 o'clock in the morning in Dublin. Catch the fever.
So I want to ask you, this.
Yeah.
Because I was thinking about this yesterday. I was looking at that slate. We went through it, I think, Monday. It is true that the college football is back and the games do count.
There are games on television.
But week zero is seemingly always, how much do I really care? Like, I'm going to see it, get excited, and then what? 10 minutes later, go, this kind of sucks. You know what I mean? It's a weird week in that way of kicking off the
sport.
It's
so stupid, dude. College football is so stupid. Why would you start the year this way? I just don't understand.
I don't know. I don't know why.
Why
do
we not have a Thursday night game this week? Why isn't Clemson and LSU on Thursday night? Lane Kiffin's first game in Death Valley live from Baton Rouge.
Why is Oregon not playing? Like, why is Oregon State not playing? Like, Oregon is Oregon's ready. They're working on their game prep now. Like, they're ready to play football.
Yeah.
You could, to Dan Lanning's point,
go play the damn game.
Very easily morph everything to just move up a week. Now, it would railroad me every year because of Hood to Coast, but I would gladly watch the DVR if it meant we get all of these games that absolutely matter.
Well, I think they will be headed that direction if and when they expand the playoff and try to consolidate the back end of the schedule to get done as close to New Year's Day as possible. I don't know if they can completely have a title before the end of the calendar year.
You could.
But they can get a lot closer.
Stop
than
taking weeks off.
January 21st.
Yeah, I mean, you could just get to the first week of January, and I think that would make everybody happy. If you just got New Year's Day might be a little too ambitious, but you could do the first 7-8 days of
January. But if they
January.
Do that, Plus, if the NFL goes to an 18-game schedule, they're going to have to start it on Labor Day weekend.
Right, you're moving up a week, and then if you start the NFL and college football on the same weekend, you're losing a lot of momentum as a sport, because yes, what college football will do next week, not this weekend, because we just get this watered-down, like, you know, off-brand version of college football for some reason instead of a full slate. Next week, you have, obviously, the full slate on Friday. There's games Thursday night. There's games Friday night. There's games on Sunday.
There's games on Monday.
Like, they try and dominate the entire weekend, which is, I guess, in that regard, smart. But if the NFL is to move up a week, that's stealing all of your thunder. And there go your Sunday games. There go your Monday games.
Well, right. The NFL
and your Thursday game, because the season will kick off, right?
Of the, of the
exactly.
Holiday
so
weekend,
moving so. Up a week for everybody to play makes a lot of sense. I will say, though, point 100% valid. I don't remember all of them off the top of my head. In terms of week zero, this at least gives me something to keep an eye on for every pocket of the day.
Oh, and we're going to watch.
Oh,
no.
I know. Just... I'm just saying, like, there's a lot of week zeros. The first game is kind of just about, are we going to laugh at Bill Belichick together?
Yes.
Like, but... that's really the only thing that matters in North Carolina.
Will
TCU.
We?
Will we? Maybe they win. I don't know.
No, I'm just asking, do you guys think we will?
If they get smoked, yeah.
If TCU starts running all over.
If TCU's up like 35-0 at halftime on
our
North
guy
Carolina.
Colin Wilson thinks North Carolina, I think he said he's put a bet in for North Carolina to go 0-12.
Yeah. That's how many O's?
What does that do to a legacy, by the way? It has to do something,
doesn't it? It tarnishes it.
I mean, it's six Super Bowls. I know it seems ridiculous, but
right.
It also highlights how different college football is as an entity versus the NFL.
I mean, it's just the whole we're going to be the pro college team. Like, it just is one of the dumbest things I've ever heard, and it's gone terribly.
Well, it's not gone well for Colorado.
And how much more important it is in college that you be liked by your local community?
Yes.
As opposed to...
You're a fixture in the community on the campus. And
he's
all
still
that.
Doing the Belichick stuff.
Being
he wants to answer questions. Yeah. He has no personality. He's just stooping his 24-year-old girlfriend and...
Yep.
Nobody knows what's really going on. His general manager seemingly got fired.
Right. His son is the defense coordinator, and he's not around the team right now, and nobody knows when he's going to be back.
He's dealing with a medical issue, but yes. He won't answer anything about, like, if his kid's even... Somebody asked him, is your kid okay? And he's like, I'm not going to discuss that.
And then he was asked, well, are you going to call the plays then? He said, I'm not talking about that. All right.
Okay, then why
Thanks
are we
for
having
that one,
a
Bill?
Press conference?
Part of the reason I don't have him as my GOAT is...
That
there is zero likability about him.
Oh, yeah. Without a doubt. There's never been anything that's
with
the 100%. But at least if he gets smoked, that's kind of funny to start the college football season to watch. Bill Belichick just be down 30-0 would be a lot of fun.
Can we get a look and see what USC looks like?
Yeah, you get USC in the afternoon. They're going to beat the crap out of San Jose
State. Man.
I know, but it's just about, you know, watching USC on your TV, and that's going to be a game that I'm very interested in as an Oregon fan. Virginia was in the ACC title game last year. That game does count as an ACC game this year.
Yeah.
So that's in the middle of the day, and then you throw a little Stanford Hawaii at me and UNLV Memphis at the end of the day. Like, you know what? I'll take it. All right, I'll take it.
Stanford Hawaii not starting at 10 p.m. Pacific time is a travesty.
An absolute upset of the century.
It's at Stanford.
I know,
it's not in the islands,
but it should be at Hawaii, and it should start 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
Bill Connelly has Hawaii in the college football playoff this year. So that, you know,
when we get Conley on again, we need to bring this up. Like, what do you know about the fight? Is it Timmy Chang?
Timmy Chang,
Timmy
he's still there.
He's still there. The Rainbow Warriors.
Timmy Chang is still there.
What
man.
Does he know about Hawaii that none of us know?
I must have a lot of returning talent. I haven't dove into the numbers on Hawaii football yet.
Are they done renovating Aloha Stadium?
No,
not yet.
God, no,
not yet. That's been the
longest stadium renovation. Yeah.
It's a massive stadium.
I think they just recently knocked it down. I think they're still in the early stages.
On the little high school makeshift field on campus for like 2 years.
Yeah, might be another 2 years.
My favorite part of yesterday's program was I had three different Beaver fans. I saw one on social media, but then two others reached out. Dirt was the hero for Oregon State fans yesterday.
I'm your savior. Why was I a hero for Beaver fans yesterday?
Because they probably didn't like that I was a little down and I'm feeling a little like, I hope they win four games.
Oh,
and you're like, they should be in every gut. Every gut. I was like, oh, look at Dirt, the big duck guy becoming the big beaver.
Look, I'm a beaver honk. We all know that. People call me a beaver honk. One's a duck, one's a beaver. I'm a beaver on this show. That's well aware. We all know it.
What if one's a duck and a beaver?
It's not a guarantee that you're going to win a certain number of games. You might go 0-12 this year for all I know.
No,
I don't know.
We won't go.
You'll beat Montana.
Yeah.
Well, although the Huskies couldn't beat Montana a couple years ago. People don't forget. It's just the idea of, like, Is Utah State better? Like,
but if I don't think my team's very good, there's going to be at least three games that we're going to lose double digits, and it's totally not fair. Just Houston.
2 years ago,
Texas
I would have
Tech.
Said I wouldn't have said you're going to get shut out by Air Force, right? Like,
right.
That would not have been my argument, and that ended up happening.
Cal last year was the trendy.
Yeah.
We're going to win this game.
First game out of the gate,
and we had a. Too
I mean,
many
Washington
men on the
State's
field
got a new coach and a new quarterback. Can you beat the Cougs this year? You
know.
Guys have had the Cougs number of times over the last couple of years, so that's a winnable game. You'll have a shot. You'll have a shot this year.
Loaded second hour. More college football on the docket, NFL as well, but let's start with the Cafe de Dirt and Sprague, hour two on The Fan.
I'm Susie Welch, the host of Becoming You, a podcast where I help you stop living by default and start living by design. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.